You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
So anyway, webcomics. This is the panel is Breaking Into Webcomics for Anime Fusion 2012. I'm saying this out loud because I'm recording this for the podcast that I do at webcomicbeacon.com. I'm Fess, of who runs that, as well as a few other webcomics, including my own hobby comic and a bunch of other stuff. I don't need to plug myself so much, but we're going to introduce everybody else.
Okay, this is... I'm Daniel Moore. I do Everyday Gods, and I draw for Worldwide News. I have upcoming projects that I can... Yes, it is. I'll be talking about later on the weekend, so hi.
What's your URL?
URL?
URL.
URL.
The domain name.
I know. I'm tired. Everydaygods.com.
Okay.
I'm Kimberly Pridemore. I am a artist for Studio Oni. I am currently the artist for Dirty Rice.
My name is Richard Townsend. I am a writer for Otaku no Yen. I am also a writer for the project that Kim is working on, Dirty Rice, and I am also a writer for the project that Chan is working on called Whip Angels.
And I'm Shannon Townsend. I'm the primary artist on Otaku no Yen, which has been running for about 8 years. And we're going to be starting up a new webcomic next spring called Whip Angels. It's a supernatural roller derby comic. I like that reaction. You can find us at otakunoyen.com and hopefully soon studioony.com.
Why don't you have that yet if you're already Studio Oni?
We actually started out as Guardian Sun Studios.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we've been through like three amalgamations, and now we're kind of revamping and conglomerating.
But you never bought that domain name?
Huh? Are you sure it's still available? We always had otakunoyen.com. Yeah, it's still available, actually.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We always had otakunoyen.com. So.
Ooh, I got to get on the internet. Excuse me.
Yes. Here, I've actually had a problem with this when I started my first webcomic. It is called PSI, or a pessimistic sense of inadequacy. You can tell in my state of mind at the time as I was making the comic. My two main characters were Fess and Ernst, and I had fessandernst.com for the longest time, but I don't know why I got that. But I decided on the internet, anyone can see this, like, maybe I should get psicomic.com. Very next day, it was bought. And I know somebody was just trolling me, or it's like one of those people that are just sitting on a domain name. So you got to buy it from them. They're like, screw you, psiwebcomic.com. Ha ha. But, you know, that can be. So if you are thinking about getting a domain name, don't talk about it. Look it up first and then buy it as soon as you see it.
I have a photographic memory. I remember all of your faces. I will find
you. And badge
you.
Numbers.
Yeah. With going online for whatever reason you want to, if you just want to have like an online portfolio, or if you want to do something like either make a web comic or have a site that promotes your print comic, you know, you're going to want a domain name. You just are. There are a lot of like free webcomic hosting sites out there. You could type in free webcomic hosting on Google and you probably get a whole bunch of options. But they all vary as far as what they offer, how easy it is to use the site, ads that they put on your site. So if you can, try to get your own site so you can have more control over it. But if you don't really care, if you're doing it for a hobby, any one of them will easily do. But even if you're doing it for a hobby... especially if you're good, you're going to, I mean, it's like you throw together, you know, people want to throw together something dumb for a while and then it just kind of doesn't exist for like after a few months or whatever. And that's fine. But, if it may have like a potential to kick off, there's no reason why you shouldn't have like an actual domain name. If you ever move sites, then people don't need to worry about drunkduck.com/mywebcomic. they can just go mywebcomic.com, and I'm sure that particular one's taken, but... So do a search, and I have a whole spiel about domain names. Don't put any words in there that can be misspelled easily. Don't put any words that sound like other words. Try not, no, do not put letters, do not put numbers in place of letters. Because you got to be able to tell somebody your domain name without explaining it, because they're not going to remember it.
If you type like me, any domain name can be misspelled. I have misspelled my own multiple times.
I wanted a W. That's an S.
Are you playing video games too long and the WASD yeah. get all worn out? And you're like, shoot, which one's a D? No, I usually recommend everybody to get a .com if you can all help it. You'll likely not get what you want if the name of your comic has a lot of fairly common words in it. There are a variety of ways to do this. I usually prefer a .com or a .net because what are people going to remember the most if they can't, you know, they remember your first part? They think, oh, it's probably .com. That's what everyone defaults to. And it's like, then there's like .co, .info, and .whatever. It's like, there's so many, unless you can somehow make it a part of the name, I've not recommended it. It's a little bit more expensive, but what do you guys think?
Oh, I agree with that entirely. .com is... the obvious go-to answer for mm-hmm. general websites, you know, unlike, you know, your convention websites where most of the time it's a .org.
Yeah, it's almost like an area code for, like, anybody you know down the street. It's like, you don't need to remember to punch in the area code.
Exactly. So, yeah, .com is probably...
Like, I think most organizations that use .org are nonprofits. Like, in my experience.
You have to be a
nonprofit. Yeah, it has to be a nonprofit to be .org.
Are you sure?
So, yeah. Pretty sure, yes.
For .org, too.
All right, that's, yeah, I don't think
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you don't want to be creative with your URL. However, if you do, buy the real domain name, and you can have your creative one for all you want. It's your money. But so, who here already has a webcomic? Awesome.
Stop.
I do.
I assume, before I jump in too far, whoa. Everybody knows what a webcomic is, right? Okay. A lot of, like, nodding heads here. Okay, so what are... who's actually thinking about putting together a webcomic right now? Okay. You kinda? Kinda, maybe? Oh, wait, yeah, I talked to you at the other panel. Okay. So, as I was telling these ladies, tell us what you already have for your comic.
Now, this part, you can't hear them talking, but they say they got a basic plot line and outline of the characters, and that's about it.
So still in the very preliminary stages. You haven't started making comics yet, starting to work on. And I was telling you before the panel actually started to, I mean, you have a world that was going to turn into, it has basically used like demonic stuff or magic in some form. It's important that you really sort of like... come up with like a sort of Bible for your comic to get the consistencies of the characters and the world that you're in. But before you even put comic one online, I recommend, and because they haven't started yet, I recommend they get maybe a month's worth of comics before they even post one or even start talking about it online.
I would say more than if you can manage it.
Yeah.
Because believe me, life will bite you in the butt.
Yeah, and if you can get a whole year ahead.
Yeah.
I had a three-month buffer and I still need it up.
Right.
It happened when we started, and oh my God, that did not last long.
But here's where the real important part is about making sure you have a whole lot of comics before you get out there. One, I've had people advertise on my site, and I click on the ad, and it's like, you have one comic here. This is not enough for me to decide whether or not I like your comic. I don't even bookmark them. I'd be like, try again later. And sometimes I even call them up on Twitter. It's like, you know, you really shouldn't. Thanks for the ad money, but you really shouldn't be advertising with only one comic right now, even if it's like less than eight. If it's like a page sort of thing, versus like, you know, like a strip, you better have like a good amount there. Before you even advertise, you need to have a good amount on your site so that people can like whet their appetite and be like, and really know if this is something they really like. But why you do that buffer before you even start is so that you can get used to how quick you can create a comic. And then you can gauge reasonably how often you can update. Because the other flip side to a webcomic, as far as like building an audience, consistent updates. You might not be able to do like 5 days a week, especially if you're doing a page. If you're doing like a full color page a week, I would say that'd be bare minimum, unless the art is fantastic. And then you have people that love it and they're willing to wait longer than a week. But it's typically the more often you can update, the more you can keep people coming back. Otherwise, sometimes people will just maybe look at it every once in a while. So it's not really all consistent. You don't really have a good idea of who's really reading your comic. But what do you guys think?
The problem with our comic is we are probably the finest lesson on what not to do over 8 years.
Yeah, if you want to know what not to do,
I'll take that back.
Talk to us. Well,
we have, over the course of 8 years, changed from one update a week to three updates a week to two updates a week to one day we update a week to one update a week, back to three, back and to two, back to one.
No, it wasn't that many. Don't exaggerate.
No,
but
it was.
You're not the one that updated. what really kicked it too was we started out in black and white, and then we went to color, and like everything we planned from the get-go has changed and transpired over the years. So, yeah, learning curve.
Because there's one thing. If there's one thing we learned over 8 years, and don't take this as an insult because it's not, but webcomic readers are fickle.
It's true. I am. I read webcomics and I'm fickle. Like if somebody doesn't update, like. There's a certain webcomic I love. I'm not going to name, but they're notorious for, you know, going months at a time without updating. So I check them maybe twice a year now, and I just catch up and like.
But that's not a matter of being fickle. I mean, if they haven't updated in months, you know, that's to me. That goes into a bookmark folder. What I say is indefinite hiatus, and I check it maybe once a year or so. Because
yeah, but the average webcomic reader in my 8 years of doing this is not going to catalog in bookmarks.
Yeah, I'm unique. I have like 200 bookmarks to webcomics.
Yeah.
Well, 300 if you count all the ones that stopped updating or they ended.
Yeah.
Well, and going with that, you've got how many webcomics out there?
Like 30,000.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If it's not have some sort of consistency. See, at least you were posting every week.
Yeah.
I had some problems because computers blew up and it was,
I've had that happen too.
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, well, it's not updating. We'll go to this other one. And they have hundreds that they're already reading, so it's not hard just to forget about one.
Yeah.
So
I read so many webcomics, I can't remember the titles to them. Because it's like I got
reading
what? I got them organized into like maybe they update about three times a week or daily or twice a week or weekly, and I just go through and I read them all, and that's how it goes. But if somebody is like, "What are your favorite webcomics?" They're like, "Crap, what's the name of that one?" And it just
the one with the thing and the guy,
yeah,
and that one time that one thing happened,
yeah. No, it's
stuff.
That one. It uses color.
So, are there any questions that anybody in the audience may have that we could sort of direct this to? Otherwise, I was telling these ladies earlier, I got 7.5 pages, single space notes I can easily read from.
Well,
nope. Yes.
You mentioned the character Bible. How do you go about starting one?
Well, okay.
sorry.
Was that the evil chuckle? I'm sorry.
Well, see, here's the thing, and I told them before the panel as well. What I tell them to do is not necessarily what I did. It's because I learned that you should do that. So I actually haven't done one yet. But I've developed the characters in my mind. So I try to keep an idea of what keeps them separate from other characters so that it doesn't – because there's been some comics out there where it's like you could change the dialogue between all of them and you really wouldn't tell because they're not written differently enough. Or a big problem would be are you – with if you don't want this to be the case, ending up speaking through the character that they're no longer the character they were anymore, and it's just your little talking puppet. Granted, that is how a character is supposed to be for some comics, but sometimes, you know, it can just devolve into that. And having a character sheet where you see on DeviantArt people like make character sheets the front by the side and little notes about them. But if you go beyond that and expand into, oh, they're irritable of this, or if you have like a back history of their character of how things that happened in the comic later, how their experiences might be affected by this, or if they don't like mustard for some reason. You're just little things like that, and you can keep adding to this. It's just a matter of trying to keep things a little bit more consistent as it goes along, because if there's one thing that people or the internet likes to do is point out when you're wrong.
I won't point out the number one webcomic where I've heard where the internet has gone completely against him where he was wrong.
But no, that's very true. See, with us, we decided to avoid that option by creating the characters based on real life people. So it is these people speaking through. So it makes it real easy for us. But yeah, creating a character Bible is something that we started with our current new project
with
that we're working
Angels,
on
yeah.
with Whip Angels. We've actually started writing every character, all their quirks, all their personality. We're even writing hypothetical situations and how they would react to it so we can refer back to that in the future when we're writing.
Mm-hmm.
So we know how they're going to react should something come up. And since we have our whole plot idea down, we know exactly where it's going to go, but something better may come along in 3 months in my mind that I'm like, oh, wait, that's way better.
Our number one rule is if, you know, don't be afraid to rewrite, because what you rewrite might be better.
Right.
You never know. So, but the character Bibles, I think, are good. We jokingly call it Tolkien syndrome, because you wind up with like 80 bajillion notebooks in your house that are never labeled properly. And you're like, crap, what's this one? Oh, yeah, I remember this. And we'll sit there and come up with hypotheticals. Like we have a character in the new comic where she's, long story short, she's part Kitty Girl, which is really goofy, but whatever. But she's actually Kitty Girl, so in the middle of a bout, she gets distracted and will run away because she'll see something shiny. Or she wants to lay down and take a nap because she's too tired to deal with anything. She really dislikes little boys. We won't talk about why.
Spoilers.
But yeah, I think it does help you really, really flush out all those little nuances. And I think you mentioned consistency, and that's a big problem
right.
a lot of people have when it comes to writing.
But it doesn't mean that the character can't grow
no,
either.
It can't change.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Question.
Comment, actually.
Comment.
Suggestion, because I actually did this the by the book way when I started my comic and did make a character Bible. And more importantly, the thing that gets forgotten a lot, a setting Bible.
Yes.
With pictures of all the settings, because I have way too many of them. But one thing that I found really helpful in making my character Bible was also to do a headline. Not just all the characters, but all the characters standing next to each other. So I can see who's what size compared to who, and also so I can see if anyone looks too similar. And if I have enough visual differences in the characters to make them
mm-hmm.
look interesting when you put them next to each other. I actually did them in the height line without even any faces, because I just wanted to get sort of the zoomed out view.
Did you do a silhouette as well with all of them?
I didn't do a silhouette, but I did here.
Because while you bring that up, a silhouette line is basically, I don't know who said it, but if you can tell what a character
That's
is. Yeah, by seeing what their silhouette is.
And I actually did, because I drew them.
That is almost impossible for
so
anime characters, I think.
Simple.
Right.
That
this one has
big
hair.
And I wanted to make sure that even if I did draw them without faces, you could all tell them apart.
Member from the audience is holding up an iPad, showing off her work to the audience.
Don't call me a member of the audience, Fess. You know who I am.
I know who you are. You do well. You already spoke. You tell plug yourself, please.
Oh, absolutely. I'm Lee. I draw Godseeker, Stone Age epic. We're in the dealer's room. We sell stuff.
There you go.
And yeah. I did a lot
okay.
of pre-development work for like 2 years before we launched the thing. So.
The other thing you want to work on is your pitch.
Don't do what I just did.
Yeah, because it's a lot better than that with some really like attractive ladies in the comic too. So they
yes,
are.
Fan service for everyone is one of our keywords.
Oh yeah, speaking. I mean, with along the pitch line, you don't want to self-degrade yourself.
Oh god.
Oh yeah. When it comes to web comics, never do that.
So many people who do that, and it makes me bonkers.
I see it in ads.
Big name people who do it too.
I don't know big name people who do it.
Oh, I do.
And he will admit that he does it, so I don't mind actually saying it. But
yeah.
Fred Gallagher. Yeah. Who does Megatokyo?
He's so hard on himself, and he's like the sweetest guy ever, and he's so hard on himself.
Are you sure that's just not a shtick?
No,
it's not his shtick.
It's not his shtick.
Is he in like a 10-year depression or whatever? Because he's been that way since forever.
Yeah, he has been. And it's never changed. We did a panel with him a couple years ago at SugoiCon, and he's still the super sweetest guy ever. Love him to bits, but he's so hard on himself. It's like, dude.
Yeah,
shut up! You're awesome.
There's way too many like ads that I'll see. One thing that a lot of web cartoonists can utilize as far as both advertising and also putting ads on their site, if you're interested in revenue, is Project Wonderful. And there are a few other options as far as like having ads on your site, but that seems to be it seems to be the most popular. And you can easily sync like $100. And if you know how to work the campaigns a bit, you can get a lot of new traffic to your site if you've never done it before. You can also spend hundreds of dollars to get ads on some of the big names because it costs $50 to $100 an hour. It's crazy. But, some people don't have ads that basically are just, don't click this link because the comic sucks. It's like, okay, I won't. It's like, thank you for that utterly original ad I haven't seen since,
reverse psychology doesn't always work.
No, but I don't know. The ads are, that could be a whole other panel.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Any, yes?
I want people to talk about networking.
Networking. That is a part of my thing that I've never really delved into because I absolutely hate the networking part, or at least working with Facebook.
That's what I'm doing now by being on this panel, because I'm networking with all these people.
Hi.
And I'm going to sit here and be quiet.
All right. So do you do any sort of social networking on your site other than post it to your website?
I have it connected to Facebook where it'll pop up when a new comic comes up. I have a fan page on Facebook. Yeah.
a face.
Do you also have a comment? Do you have a comment system on your webcomic site?
Yes.
Okay, that seems to be a big staple these days, using WordPress or some other sort of blogging tool that incorporates the comics, and also people can leave messages. Back in my day, that wasn't the case. You either had to have like a chat box little thing on there, or you had to be really good with code and figure out how you could do that. Because that wasn't really an option. But what are you guys?
We are about to blow up in the social networking world. Currently, we have a studio Facebook page and a comic Facebook page.
Separate
fan groups. But when we do updates, Shannon posts to her personal Facebook, the Otaku no Yen Facebook, Studio NY Facebook. We have a Twitter.
We're about to start a Tumblr. I'm late to the Tumblr train. I'm so sorry.
We have a Studio DeviantArt. We have a Studio DeviantArt page, and we used to have a Live Journal.
Yeah.
I think we still technically
Did you have a MySpace?
We did not.
No.
Because MySpace,
it's coming back.
It's the ghetto of the internet. It's never coming back.
But we also have the front. We have a front page. Our front page of our website is actually a blog with commenting as well. So
Wait a minute.
I think we use Joomla.
The front page of your comic isn't a blog post, is it?
No.
Good, because don't do that.
When you go to otakunoyen.com, it does not go to the first comic. Or doesn't go to the recent comic. No, we do not want them going to our first comic.
We have reasons for this, though. We have reasons.
We do have reasons.
It's changing. It's a very long, sordid story. Like I said, everything we've done is wrong.
All right. So this is one thing I'll mention real quick before going back to the social networking. One of the things people will look at, like, Penny Arcade and be like, oh, what they're doing is awesome because they're so successful, so I should do that. There's so many, I'm sorry to say, bad webcomics out there which will link right to their blog post. Their .com goes right to a blog post, but you don't see any images. You don't see any comics. Sometimes I've seen like manga-style comics, more so than not, do it where it does go to the blog, but they'll also have like an image cropping saying latest update. So you can at least visually see that something changed. Also, if you're a newcomer, you can at least see what the comic kind of looks like. If you have on a .com site, if you're on the web and somebody lands on your homepage, you want to try to make them a reader. They got to see what you're offering. There's this one comic that it might have been an ad that linked to somewhere, and I couldn't find the latest comic. It's like there was like a link to the archives. It's like that's not really how you do it. And we'll go into like navigation later and such. But it is like you don't have that visual stimulus. It's like, oh hey, cool, look at these characters. I'm gonna read this. So that's why I say never do
it. I think that kind of depends on the individual project, but that's
it can. And there's exceptions to everything. It's whether or not you can do it right. I mean, I'm not gonna be up here and be all pompous about it, but
we did ours for the reason of actual traffic. We wanted to see how many people were going to otakunoyen.com/webcomic and then who was just going to our main page.
Because the same thing, Penny Arcade, basically, if you go pennyarcade.com/comic, and I just bookmarked that.
Yeah.
So
that's why.
And both have RSS feeds, so people can choose to do what they want. You know what I mean?
Right.
Some people like the blog updates, and we have weeks where we do.
And if you're advertising,
you know what I mean?
If you're advertising, it goes to your comic page, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, back to the networking thing. I network. Okay, I'm not sure if technically it's networking, but I utilize networking sites. I've got a Tumblr, which I'll post whenever we get an update, but I begrudgingly so each time because it's a pain in the ass. I make a post on the Facebook stuff that I got. I even make a post on the Google Plus site.
That's the thing.
it's a different audience that's over there, but I'm always like going to go back to the site if somebody makes a comment on it. I'm not going to be like, oh, I'll never ever use. No, if somebody's asking something, they'll go and check it out. And that's the thing. You kind of got to go where the fans are going to go, or hopefully you want fans, right? Right. You want to have a reason to. Okay, but so some people will utilize certain avenues a lot better than others. Like a lot of people are on Facebook. I absolutely freaking hate it. But, you know, that's where people wanted. I only created the Facebook page because I had enough people saying, you should put it on Facebook. I don't wanna. It's a big do-it-yourself industry. And if you are going to, I kind of would be thinking about it. If there was somebody out there that basically is like just sold themselves as like a social networking whore for hire.
I would love to find one person who is willing to write the code that when you make an update, it will automatically push to every social networking site.
I'm sure it's out there.
It might be on WordPress.
Because, I mean, you got stuff like, you know, when you post your Twitter, it'll go to your Facebook.
The WordPress may have. I'm pretty sure WordPress has the.
But I want one that'll hit everything the second I update.
But here's the thing. It's like I'm also kind of stingy when it comes to RSS feed. I don't put the full-size comic in the RSS feed because I want them to go to the site that I made. And soon it'll be the site. Well, it's like when I do like the podcast stuff because I don't do the webcomics so much right now. It's like I made that site for it to be visited. So I'll give you the link. Just go click and see the site. You know, that's where I put it. And I can, you know, get ad money. Because it costs money to have a website.
With the RSS feed, most people will do the comic really small, so you have to click on it.
Right.
I, by accident, did the exact opposite, because I put the file into my thing, and the website put it down into its dimensions. The RSS feed didn't. So when it came up on everybody's RSS feed, all you saw was the top corner of the first panel. You'd have to. That was the only
thing that would fit, update ever.
It's the only thing that would fit in the entire screen on their computer.
That's funny. I don't know if we answered your question. Command. Yeah.
Talk about
The thing with I will say this. The thing with Tumblr is really good. Twitter, especially as a social networking. If you're just a person and you don't have a hobby and you're on Twitter, you better be following people that are more interesting than you because your updates probably don't matter. But if you're, I'm serious, if you're like a creator and you're out there and you're sharing like all your stuff and artists, music, artwork, you know, and you're sharing links to cool things you found or, hey, check out this sketch I just did. You know, people love seeing that and they like trying to talk at celebrities or people that they think are cool for the off chance that they'll reply to your Twitter mention is like, hey, yay! And Neil Gaiman replied to me. You know, it's things like that. And as far as like when, you know, I have the podcast, I get creators on all the time. In the past year and a half, I'd have to say at least 50% of the people that I've had on this show were because I asked on Twitter if they wanted to be on this show. So incredibly important socializing tool, especially amongst peers. And the same thing can go for Tumblr a little bit as far as, you know, there's like DeviantArt and all that, but Tumblr is sort of like a rolling DeviantArt for some of the people I follow because, you know, they'll throw up their sketches or they'll throw up like little series every once in a while. I follow a girl named Yamano that has started doing Sailor Mew, which is cat versions of the Sailor Scouts, and it's just sort of this off thing, and people wanted more, and I mean, it's not like a comic thing, but it's an off thing to help, you know, keep the appetite of your fans a little bit more, you know, held, and sometimes it can just transcend to getting other people to know about your stuff, and it really has worked for her a lot, I know.
You know, the one pitfall to social networking is, though, we are slaves to you, the readers. If you do not follow our social networking sites, we're updating to ourselves. We're just posting to ourselves. Sometimes.
Well, there's that too, and which is what I'm doing right now. Because I know there's not a lot of people that follow me, but it's all there. Because I keep trying to push the regular site. But it can be a trial and error, but if you really want to like get involved and do more than the bare minimum, it does require legwork or finger work, I guess.
You don't want to social network to yourself because that makes you go blind.
I will throw in, too, you don't want to underestimate the benefit of face-to-face networking either. I know that we live in a digital age, and it's a lot easier to typey-typey-type send. Mm-hmm. But going to cons, meeting people, wandering, talking, handing out business cards, giving people that face time, I think is still incredibly important. Because it helps you develop a little bit more, like a deeper relationship with some people. And honestly, some of the best hookups and freelance gigs and connections I've ever made in my life were made at cons.
There's a few things we haven't really gone over yet. It is primarily like it's a webcomics panel, and if you haven't done a webcomic before, how do you do it? And the thing is, I was telling these fine ladies right here beforehand that the line between comic and webcomic is almost non-existent these days. Like it's almost like most webcomics are comics that are not yet printed. Or is like this seems to be an end goal, or at least to even sell like the digital version of a chapter or a whole book or something like that, if you're not gonna print it at all. And the print comics, they're getting into the digital framework as well. So they're all comics. The only ones that are really, really what I would call web comics are the ones that do something that you can't possibly recreate in print form. And there's a few spectacular ideas out there. I know there's some Homestuck people here as well, so there might be some people that are familiar with the comic prequel. And that is, I mean, it's like you really can't print Homestuck, you really can't print prequel without either doing a whole lot of extra frames. And then it just kind of takes away the whole experience of that too. So a lot of people are going to be thinking already is like how, especially these days, it's like, how can I not just make a comic, but sort of make this a business or like try to make money off this eventually? Cause if you're not doing it as in trying to like make a name for yourself, you're probably trying to do it as in do something meaningful in your spare time as an artist. Maybe make it a second job, if not a full time job. You know, the artist's dream. You know, get money.
What's money?
Dream. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So, dream is the main word there. Yeah.
See, I don't know. Maybe they're not familiar with the term starving artist. So the biggest thing is the website, and there are tools out there. If you go to on WordPress. Which is a blogging tool you can install on a server if you buy like a space on a server. If you're just starting out, nobody knows who you are, you could easily go to something like Bluehost or whatever where you pay like $5 a month or whatever. And it's really, really cheap because you're not going to have a whole lot of traffic to worry about. Get a server space, load, upload WordPress on it, and follow the instructions. You can use plugins and themes such as MangaPress, ComicPress, Comic Easel, Webcomic Inkblot. There's several options out. Strip Show. There's several options out there to turn the...
What? Really?
Why? What do you do?
Strip Show?
Yeah.
Ooh. I have to check that one.
Okay. Yeah, we've had him on the show once.
How is a strip show any good on the radio?
Well, for our fourth...
I was going to say, I think you're missing the point.
We actually had a stripper on for our fourth anniversary.
Get your perverted train back on the rails.
Then the stripper does a webcomic, too.
Awesome.
About strippers.
Well, you do what you know.
What were we talking... Oh, yeah. No, so, yeah. There's some people that I've seen do, like, just get a blog spot where they post a comic, but it's just a little comic, and then you have to click to read it. But then you have to, like, scroll through and try to find where the next update is, because they also have blog. It's you really want to utilize something that's designed for webcomic or presenting a comic online. There's different ways to do this, but if you're looking at doing regular updates versus, say, a portfolio style, you're going to want to... Most likely, you're going to be going with WordPress or some custom code or something with Drupal or something like that. But you got it. Basically, I always recommend the latest comic should be on the .com. People see it right there, and right there they can click first. They can click previous. You know, there's some navigation that's right there, closest to flipping through a book as possible. Some people will argue this way or that as far as the style. Some sort of navigation on any time a comic is shown should be there. There's sometimes where I see like Smack Jeeves. Yeah, it's a free comic hosting site where depending on what settings people have, it's like you get a comic and it's like, where's the whatever button? You have to like click within it again and then if you have to think so hard about how to... People are just going to leave if they can't figure out what they're going to do.
I actually have a question because you said that your site originally, or at the moment, you go to the main site first and then the webcomic, and you've got... How has that worked out?
For us, it was actually nice to see that. The reason why we had done it is we were trying to see how many people were showing up on update days and how many people were showing up on other days that were not update days. And we actually, this helped us hone in on our update days.
Again, with us, it was like a trial thing when we did it, but it wound up working out. We used to have it where it just went straight to the comic. And then when we did a site revamp, we decided to try it with the journal in front. It didn't hurt our numbers. It didn't hinder anything. People liked it because they could look and see if that had been, you know, kind of updated. Because at the time we were moving from Chicago to Detroit, so we were down for like 2 weeks waiting to get everything set up. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of chose that time to make the transition. And it worked out really, really well. Over time, it hasn't really hindered us. It hasn't caused any problems, which is why I do believe it really kind of depends on the project and how well established you are. I mean, if you're right, starting out from the get-go, sure, put it up front there. If you've been around for like 6 to 8 years, like
yeah, you already had an audience and they knew the drill sort of thing. Yeah. My other question is, why'd you move from Chicago to Detroit?
My God.
Okay.
Ironically, work. Wrap your brain around that.
Again, in Detroit. Back to that comment about, you know, wanting to do art for your job, but actually having to pay bills and eat, yeah. So we all have day jobs.
We have day jobs.
I have a better question. I understand the job thing. Why move to Detroit at all?
It was a really good paying job.
It lasted about 3 years, and then I said, get me the hell out. And we came here.
Let's see here. I got a whole bunch of notes on doing your... I mean, as I said earlier, you got seconds to sell a new reader on your site, which is why, especially if you're brand new, the comic should be there. If it's a strip comic, like just a strip, and it should be visible without scrolling whatsoever. There's no reason why that strip shouldn't be exactly the entire thing. You know, if they have a page, I usually go with like a rule of thumb as I have the first row or the top third of the comic page should be visible without scrolling. It's for existing readers so they can say, oh, hey, it's a new comic, because they can visually tell. Or just people coming by, they can at least see your characters, see your art. There's this one person there on Webcomics Nation. I don't mean to be dogging on all these free options, but you get what you pay for, if you, unless you know how to really customize it. But there was like the Webcomics Nation ad, and then like the built-in template navigation thing for the site, and then they had their title, their little logo for their comic, and then their menu thing. I had to scroll to see any of the comic, and it's like, that is terrible. They've since moved their website to somewhere else. And this was another situation where they were Think Before... I think the comic was Think Before You Think. Comics Nation, webcomicsnation.com or whatever it was. And they had moved, and they had actually bought a domain name since then, so they had to do the whole process where they had to try to get people to go to the site and bookmark the new URL. So there's the importance of having that URL first and foremost, especially when you start advertising. And granted, if you're on one of these free sites and people are going to click around to it, it's going to default to, you know, wherever. So if you can at all help it, I'd recommend against the free hosting sites unless they let you be able to put your own domain name in, but I don't think most of them do.
Along the same lines, there's some comics that Shannon has read that when she showed to me, like, you should check out this comic. And the first thing I noticed, it looked like a CNN Fox News screen. You know, here, ads here, a ticker here, comic here.
It's actually part of a studio conglomeration that puts out, like, three or four webcomics at the same time. So they work with the same artist, but it's all kind of under one roof. So every single one of their websites is formatted the same way.
Yeah.
And it is very cluttered. And the comics are great. I'm not knocking on the comics. They're fantastic. Otherwise, I wouldn't read them.
That's the other thing is the website design. It's there's many things you can do with and without ads. Going to sidebars can be a little bit iffy, especially if your sidebars are image heavy. Versus, like, say, you got, like, a, you know, recent comments or something like that where it's, like, something that breaks it up. There's another panel or workshop, I'm not sure how you would call it, that I do every once in a while. It's called the Crash Course to Webcomic Design. And I don't tell you anything about making a website, but I do go through existing webcomic websites, and I point out what they're doing poorly and how they can do to fix it up. And I did this live once on the internet for an online con that I only happened once. It was Comic Reef or something like that. And I ended up helping out getting, I forget the name of the comic, but they took a lot of my advice to heart, and they redesigned it. It looked a lot much better. A lot of times, sometimes people want to cram as much as they want, as much as they can. It's like, you got to have some space to breathe in between each entity and the comic and such like that. You got to make sure that their attention is first and foremost on your comic and not just, you know, lazy-eyed dragging to the ad that might have better art than what you have sort of thing. You know, those are all things to take into consideration. Best way when you're designing a site, if you know code, you probably know a little bit better as far as how to put something together. But if you know a person or you're going to pay somebody else to do it, which is an option for a lot of people, spend some time in an image editing program and, you know, have all these different elements of if you want to add, this is where the ad would go. This is where your logo would go and kind of move it around. So it kind of looks nice.
If you're doing a webcomic, I assume you know what Photoshop is.
Right. But I didn't want to, but there's a lot of other options to Photoshop. So
yeah.
I didn't want to. But, you know, and then have other people look at it that are not you or anybody that's working on the comic and ask them, what do you think about this site? And then get some and listen to what they say. They think, this is kind of distracting over here and whatnot. And then this is something you can give to your programmer. And it might not be exactly what you want, but, you know, they can get the gist of how you want your site set up. So, and I'm doing that right now with the webcomic podcast that I'm doing. I'm actually paying a programmer to rebuild the whole site and basically worked in Photoshop for months to try to get it right. But I already had an understanding about how the code worked. So I'm trying to think of put as less odd demanding stuff on the programmer as possible. It's like there's a blog I follow that's called Clients from Hell. And it's like, okay, I don't want to do any of this. Where I make unreasonable demands or just like things that are just not possible.
I love Clients from Hell. I actually have that bookmarked on my work computer. It makes me feel better about my own job.
Yeah. I like a friend of mine who actually is another webcomic artist. He does a comic called Small Town Values. he did what I thought was great. He actually basically knew a programmer and website designer that he knew for a long time, so he had some stuff on him and blackmailed him. And he's the one that takes care of his site. But what's really good is the guy's an excellent website designer. At the same time, he's a comic reader, so he has an idea of, hey, this is what works and what doesn't. So if you're lucky enough to have some evil stuff on a programmer who likes comics, it's really good. So,
yeah. And a website is nothing without the URL again. And I have this saying that I've meant to say before. Domain name should be simple to say, spell, and remember. And if you can't do that, then you should get something new, and they're cheap, and that's how people get to your site. So, who wants some pro tips on comic creation? Nobody? Who wants some pro tips on comic creation?
Yeah.
All right, practice.
It was like asking Fluttershy.
Practice, out. Practice, practice.
Everybody, tell me how excited you are!
Yay!
It's practice, 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 and I'm sorry that that's the sad truth of it. I like to caution people. I did this yesterday, a couple panels. Buying fancy pens, going with India ink, getting cardstock paper, getting that Cintiq. These are not things that instantly make you better at making comics. These are all but merely tools, and all tools have to be mastered. So
I can pick up a screwdriver. It doesn't mean I can put a nail into a wall with it.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the thing. Some people will think, oh, I got to have all this fancy stuff. I've seen there's this image I bookmarked on Tumblr, which linked to something on DeviantArt. It looked like maybe it was a photograph or maybe it was some sort of like fancy like painting. No, if you look really closely at it, it's all ballpoint pen. And it was fantastic. I mean, some people can do mad stuff in MS Paint, for crying out loud. It's because they've mastered these tools. You can see it. Shh. Phone's going off.
Yeah, that screwdriver, we can fix that.
So that's the thing. Is you can easily master regular pencils on Xerox paper, for crying out loud. You can utilize any sort of tool you want to, but no tool will make you better. Practicing will make you better. One caveat I have for this, I have found, if you are still at some point using the computer to color your comic, depending on how you want to create your comic, if you're using a mouse to try and color it, screw that. Screw that. I have found using even the cheapest tablet to color.
Hey. I hand color with a mouse.
It's like banging two rocks together. Stop it.
I use a mouse.
If you mastered the mouse. The mouse is a tool. However, I will say the easier tool is any sort of tablet because you don't need to be as precise with drawing, but like shading and coloring, I found to be...
See, for me... And it's
I have an Intuos 2 that I've had forever,
yeah.
And I'm looking to upgrade, and I keep offering to give him my 2. He can't, figure it out.
I cannot figure it out, because it's pressure sensitive.
That messes him up.
And
you can turn that off.
I've told him that.
There's a button in Photoshop you unclick.
I've told him
there's
that.
A button for that.
Yeah. That was easy.
Okay, you really want to see, you really want to watch your head spin? I also don't use Photoshop. I use GIMP.
And that's absolutely a fine, cheap
alternative. Someone supports me.
GIMP is fine. There's Painter Tools Sci, there's GIMP, there's Manga Studio, there's a lot. Hey, they're all tools you just need to master. Yeah, see, there was a hand up somewhere? Well, fine.
I was just going to say, there is, also GIMP does have that trick box, so I use GIMP myself.
Well, I use my mouse because I'm comfortable with it. I'm good with it.
That's fine. You've mastered your mouse, sir.
I have mastered my mouse.
He's getting a bamboo for Christmas.
And here's the flip side. Here's the flip side. If you invest, bamboo's what, like maybe $100?
Yeah, the low-end one is about $100.
I have a bamboo.
$180. I get a cheaper.
Yeah, and here's the thing. This is expensive equipment. It's resellable if you don't want it. You might not get all of your money back, but it's an investment piece. And if you find it doesn't work for you, you can find somebody else that'll buy it off.
Getting a bamboo in 2013.
Is it him?
I have a Cintiq.
Do you need a new artist? I'm just asking. No, I'm kidding.
Yes.
Yes. He's like, no, for real. Yes.
So let's see here.
My current one sucks.
We covered this earlier.
So
same panel.
The secret to making a successful comic is to first make a good comic, then get people to read it, and then figure out how to make money off of it.
It's that simple.
Phase one: collect underpants.
Commercial.
Yes. I have a few other things here. I feel, and this can easily vary, but I feel like if you look at what made this comic successful, if you looked at it as a pie chart, it'd be an ever-shifting slice of pie chart of skill, frequency, exposure, connections, and just dumb luck, as in being in the right place at the right time, feeling a certain niche. Why does this stupid stick figure comic... that has childish jokes and that I came up with when I was a kid. Why are they making so much money versus this other crappy stick figure comic with childish jokes?
We're because looking at you, O'Neil.
They just happen to be in the
O'Neil, XKCD.
XKCD is actually written really well.
Yeah, no, so is I love. O'Neil.
I was talking about the O'Neil. Cyanide people.
Cyanide no, happiness. Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
No, it's like, you know, their skill, the writing and or the art can certainly draw people in. Why people want to do it. There was a comic, those Tales of the Traveling Gnome, that updated maybe once a month, but it was so popular that it didn't matter. Lackadaisy Cats updates whenever.
Oh, yeah.
And it is awesome art. People are willing to wait for it. So that's the sort of thing. You can get away with some of breaking some of my rules.
Yeah, Order of the Stick actually does, it breaks two of them. Yes. There was a time that you had no idea when he was going to update, and he did stick figures.
Yeah.
But the story was so
but they're better
funny.
Than average stick figures, to be honest.
Okay, they're stick figures
they're
with
like...
a box.
Yeah, well, and they have, you know, faces, too, but...
Are
no.
They using news feeds to tell when there's...
Yeah, a lot of these, if you get, like, a WordPress, yeah. There's, like, a built-in RSS system people can subscribe to. So it's not really... And connections, sometimes it comes down who you know, or and exposure, where maybe somebody who you know dropped your link somewhere for other people to find, and suddenly you have to buy more server space because they're way too popular. They crashed your server, so
yeah,
question, comment.
Another thing to do if you want your comic to be popular is, once your art doesn't suck anymore, make fan art for someone just a little bit better than you.
Absolutely.
And send it to them.
Absolutely.
This is me blatantly sucking up to EK Weaver. Why? Because the last time I did it, she sent me 500 readers. It worked.
That's, yeah, drawing like fan art.
Not
even...
just asking them, oh, will you link to me? But you say, here's a thing that I made. And a lot of times that gets you in good.
Right, yeah, and also I would even say, like, drawing other people's stuff is a great way to, if you're, like, getting frustrated on, this happens with me, if you've just been burned out with your own work, just draw other people's stuff. There's no committal to that sort of thing. It gets your energy going again because you don't have to worry about anything. Oh, it's just this, but else you can do some fantastic stuff. Learn about how and why other people's styles work the way they do. And it's just a good exercise. And if you do something really awesome that somebody else better than you likes, hey, they might just post it somewhere and get you some readers as well. You know, that's you know, you're trying to get in good with your peers and try to expand your audience. It's all fantastic. And I guess that's about all I have. Are there any other questions? Or if you would like to see my huge bunch of notes, you can ask me and email me and I'll send them to you. But other than that...
I do want to actually bring up one more thing that I think is also very important in convention aspects, is you have to be nice. You really do have to be nice to people that potential readers,
it doesn't
current
mean you
readers...
You have to internally be a nice person.
You could not like a person but still be civil and nice.
You can be civil. You don't necessarily have to be nice. But is the I used to tell people
I'm not saying kiss butt.
I'm saying
you have to be professional.
I wouldn't say necessarily be nice. It's more so don't be an asshole.
You know what? That's a good way of putting it because I won't name names, but we have
Scott Kurtz.
No.
No.
We have a friend who does a webcomic who literally made one of his fans cry. At his table.
Well,
this girl came up and she's like, I love your comic. I've been reading it since day one. And he just looked up from his board and said, you haven't been reading it from day one. What happened in my 9th update?
That's a dick.
Yeah, he is a dick. And this is why I don't talk to him anymore.
And she cried.
And we're right next to this. I'm just like.
It's an effort. And I'm not saying, like, you have to be super nice to every single person that comes to your table. Because I hate to say this. The second you put your stuff up on the internet, you better be prepared for some internet hate.
Yeah.
Someone's going to hate it.
Ooh, something awful.
Someone's going to hate it. Go to something awful and look up my name. Oh, yeah.
Don't go to something awful.
No, please don't, actually.
Oh.
They do not like me. But
4chan, Reddit, something awful. Don't go there.
But no. For real, like, you can't be – the self-degrading thing comes back into that. You don't want to, like, down yourself in front of people at a show.
Thanks
because, like, if you look at me and you go, I really like your art. And if I go, yeah, it's okay. It kind of sucks. Am I showing any sense of self in what I'm doing? Like, if I don't have faith in what I'm doing, why would you buy it? Why would you spend 5 minutes on what I'm doing?
Not to mention her saying, well, it's all right. It's actually kind of insulting you, saying you have no taste.
Yeah. Because you're going, I like this. And I'm going, you're stupid. Yeah. So, yeah. Don't be a dick.
So, no, it used to work, you know, the CAD guy, Scott Kurtz, you know, they kind of made a living, not a living off of it, but that was their thing.
Yeah.
But there was also only like 100 comics on the web at that point. Here, you can easily just drop somebody being a dick and go somewhere else. You know,
yep.
it doesn't work anymore if
Especially
it did.
If they make you
I did see your hand go up.
Yeah, I was just kind of following up on that.
Again, you can't hear this, but they're asking, when you're just starting in your first few months, how seriously do you take the bad comments?
You can't take the bad comments. It doesn't matter if you're 2 months in or 8 years in. Let it go in one ear and out the other.
I am dead
serious. I went through a phase where I lost sleep. I cried. I debated giving up, and it's not worth it. Don't let some idiot's hate, like, make you feel worse about yourself and what you do. I mean, yeah, you're putting it out there for an audience, but, and I mean, I'm sorry, like, this is a huge soapbox trigger for me, because I've been there. You cannot let their crap get to you. You need to just plug through it, do what you're doing to make you happy. If others take enjoyment in it at the same time, awesome.
There are bad comments, and there are good bad comments.
Yeah.
The bad comments are the ones that say, you suck, kill yourself, and all those other sorts of terrible stuff that people say. The good ones say why it sucks, even if you don't agree with it. At least
they are critiquing.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is weird to go into because I haven't gotten any of that stuff on the web, and I'm not saying that I don't necessarily get it. I just haven't found it. But I don't get good stuff either. No one seems to comment on my stuff. However, as an actor, I've had bad reviews. But the thing is, those ones that are just saying, oh, it sucked, blah, 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 blah. If you actually look at their comments, most of the time, like, one of the shows that we got just ripped apart on was, all it was bad puns and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's what the show was. What the hell were you there for? The ones that are really ripping you apart, well, they just didn't like your stuff.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you did bad. It's just not their thing. And they want to badmouth it because you didn't do exactly what they expected.
Yeah.
It's like, eh.
there was a website that was called Your Webcomic is Bad and You Should Feel Bad. And
yep.
And it's like, I read some of them for a while, and I'm not going to go into it a whole lot, but it's like, there was somebody else later that reviewed the podcast, and then all of our comics, like the host's comics, and it's like, I'm looking through it, and it's like, okay, it's like, they're just nitpicking, they're picking out one particular instance, or even some of these other sites, they're just attacking the artist. They're clearly doing it for entertainment purposes. It's not a legitimate review site. It's a for entertainment sort of thing.
The meanest thing they could say about me had nothing to do with my art. I was a fat, talentless whore. I was like, that's what you got? Everyone knows that.
What does this have to do with the comic?
Her waist size is completely proportional to how she moves the pencil
well,
on paper.
If that was the case, I'd be awesome.
You'd at least be making.
New Masamune Shiro.
You'd be making money at least.
Right?
You know? Yeah.
Rarity has a question.
Kind of along those lines.
Twilight Sparkle, that's not Rarity. You suck at ponies. What?
There's a really fabulous brand, kind of along that by an author named Zary Kernan. And she wrote this brand about reviewers who do that, where she writes about who's imagining that her book or whatever piece of art you're doing is a green square. And some reviewer comes along and says, that's not a very good yellow triangle. And you go, why not? It's not a very good yellow triangle. It's a green square. So, you didn't read the same thing.
Those are ours.
We're a few straps away.
Yeah. You're on the internet. You are free game for people to say something unless you close comments. There's this webcomic that used to update for a while. I liked it. I even helped them redesign her website. She didn't have comments enabled. She didn't have any way to contact her. She didn't have any sort of fan site or forum. People couldn't talk about her comic. I had no idea how popular she was or not, and it'd be kind of nice to know what other people thought about this page or whatnot. So that goes back to the social networking sort of thing, or at least having a place for people to talk about your thing, because what can happen? Conversations should go on. Other fans could meet other fans and geek out if they want to, or say your comic sucks together. You know, at least you provide that space. And that's also views on your site, for one, as well as just you're kind of creating a place for people, and it's nice that way.
Can we make a separate newsletter for haters?
Yeah, I can guarantee you they won't go there.
No, I know.
Here's our mailing list if you like us. Here's our mailing list if you hate us.
every single month it'll just be a piece of paper that says, you suck!
Well, try it. Try it and get back to us on that.
Yeah. My cats are starving and it's your fault.
But that brings us to, we're a little bit over time. It's like 7:05 right now. Does anybody have any final questions? All right. Once I said, if you did want to know all the big notes that I had, you can ask me afterwards, and I'll send it to you. Otherwise, thank you very much for coming to our panel.
Come see us in the dealer hall tomorrow.